Notcast, episode 199, Mr. Bones Wild Ride. There's no getting off Mr. Bones Wild Ride.
I thought that was the point of Mr. Bones Wild Ride, was to get off.
No.
Oh.
No, not Mr. Bones.
So it's a cock tease, then.
You're here forever. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And that's it this week. Shiva is off doing family stuff.
Okay, good night and big balls.
No, not that. You're not getting off that easy. You can't go back to playing that Gameloft pony game.
Damn it.
It is super cute, and the animations are adorable, but it's still a Gameloft game.
But I want to spend all the money.
I'm sure that Tieran would be absolutely thrilled if you spent a bunch of money on...
Damn it, I killed the app, and it still sent me push notifications. Bon Bon is ready to play.
No, Bon Bon. Not yet. I have to wait till I get Lyra.
That'll then we'll be talk. Later. Zip. Touch it.
But yeah, you know, it is Friday, November 9th, 2012. The world has not ended.
That's right.
God has not smote the United States from the face of the earth. And we're not going, fuck, 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 oh my God, fuck. So, it is really funny that, like, the Times of India was like, Obama wins re-election, world breathes sigh of relief.
Oh God, really?
Yeah.
That was like their for real headline?
It's always funny to see the international headlines and stuff.
The one after the 2004 election was great, because I think it was like the Daily Mail in Britain. It was like
how could 53 million people be so dumb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It had the exact vote count, and people were really offended. And I was like, well, fuck you. You're dumb.
But yeah, it was a hell of a win. Gay marriage won in the four states was up.
Yep.
Medical marijuana. Is
marijuana? It's pronounced marijuana.
Marijuana. So should make Rainforest and
Rocky Mountain
more entertaining next year.
Rocky Mountain,
implying that those cons aren't already full of it.
Yeah, I know, but I was like, oh my God, it's legal now.
But no, it's legal, and you can have a smoke and not get sent to pound me in the ass prison for 2 years.
That's right, yeah.
Want to go to Colorado? I mean,
yeah. Well, I know I'm going to do Rainforest, because, actually, speaking of which, Rainforest opened their hotel block today. So I went ahead and reserved my room. Now, this is November 2012, and I'm reserving a room for September 2013. But it actually is necessary to reserve this early. So if anyone out there is going to Rainforest, go ahead and reserve your hotel room before they're all gone.
Yeah, because you don't want to miss out.
Because the hookah first party just got really interesting. No. Don't smoke weed in a hookah. That's not cool. So So what have you done this week, Sam? Terrible segue.
Not a lot. You know, it's been pretty calm. We're doing a bunch of reorganizing here at the house.
Mm-hmm.
Clean Carpet's doing a complete reorganization of our apartment into a more social space.
Yeah.
Our Webster is going to probably be coming and moving in with us in the next week or so.
Mm-hmm.
Cause our previous roommate left and she has a bunch of couches and stuff like that. And
all the couches.
Yeah. So she'll be living with us and we will have a bunch of couches and seating space. And we're going to flip this room so that we have couches on this wall. Mm-hmm. And the projector will project onto the space where there's the wall hanging. The wall hanging is going to come down, and there's, you know.
Why is it necessary to do that when I just have a couch underneath where the projector is going to be?
Because we want a large amount of people to be able to sit and watch something.
But you'll still have this here.
No, we won't.
Oh, we won't.
Yeah, we're moving that couch either against the wall, or we're going to throw it in the dumpster because it's awful and, like, 30 years old.
Yeah. So are we moving your desk?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, we're doing a complete reorganization of Shiv's Saverin this over this next couple weekends, and so that we can have a social time here where people can, well, obviously, like Webster has her anime nights. Anime nights here.
Oh, okay.
And stuff like that. So it'll be nice to be able to have people over again. Because for the longest time, we've only had this single two-person love seat, and that's really been about it. So it'll be cool to have people over and have a social space.
I'm people. I'm here.
Yeah.
I know.
We're recording Nutcast, and it's usually you and Shiva on the couch, and me out here in my chair. So it'll be nice. It's a big change. Doesn't mean it's just changing everything around, but we're here for another year. So it's not like we're doing everything right before we move or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah, that's a fairly big step, I guess.
I need to talk to her tomorrow then about getting boxes to her.
So I've still got, and that's some all left. Dependent on if those two friends she's trying to help out can do what they want to do.
Right, yeah.
But that's, I mean, it's cool. And the rent helps too.
Yes. Cool. So my big thing is it's Saturday we did my housewarming party.
Ah, that was fun.
So that, I'm really happy with how that turned out. I had a bunch of people.
Rahata showed up. That was cool.
He happened to be coming down in town. And so I was totally like, dude, you're totally invited if you want to come over. So we ended up with 36 guests altogether. So including Tyr and I, it was 38 people. And I said on last week's show, I was estimating between 30 and 40. So I was like, with that. Yeah. And
it wasn't crowded.
And it wasn't crowded.
Seating in your place.
Yep. By the end of, and I had actually gone out earlier that day and bought another, I dropped like $50 at Walmart getting another card table instead of four folding chairs. So we have that whole little hall closet now. It's now full folding chairs. So
sweet. Because, I mean, you had a bunch of people sitting at Tyrion's gaming table.
Yep.
I was over there hawking to those guys, a bunch of Tyrion's gaming group guys. Your kitchen table had people talking at it. The couches had people talking at it. The spare bedroom had people talking at it. The sunroom had people talking at it. You've got a kick-ass house, dude. You really do.
Thank you.
And
I'm very waggy about it. I'm so happy right now.
It's really cool that you're able to host that number of people and not have it be this crowded mess.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely, I mean, when we did the party in our apartment years ago, it was okay. But like, even on like Tuesday night, just having like eight people over in our apartment, like the air conditioner wasn't that good. And remember, it got really hot and unpleasant. And
you had to open the door.
Yeah, but the AC at the house keeps up really well.
Well, you got new units.
So. They're like 3 years old or something like that. I think they were installed in 09 or 10, one or the other. Yeah. Two brand new air conditioning units. And it was just really great. We figured out we had a 12-hour long party. Because we started at 3 in the afternoon and we ended at 2 at night. But we actually gained that 12th hour because the clocks rolled back. So I actually repeated that last hour. So that's pretty successful. One of my favorite parts was we have the little patio outside the solarium, and Teal brought his hookah, and I had my hookah. And so we had like three or four of us just sitting out on the patio smoking and talking, and we had different flavors in each pipe. And that was just a nice, chill time. The weather was really perfect. Where it wasn't like freezing cold out there or anything. It was just super nice.
I had this funny moment because you have a sprinkler system that turns on.
Yeah.
I looked outside at one point and it's like, oh my God, it's raining. No, it's not. It's your sprinkler system. Oh God, the hookah stuff's outside.
Yeah. Luckily, we had stopped smoking it by then. But
that would have been kind of funny. Just.
Yeah.
I don't need another shower today.
Luckily, no casualties from the sprinklers going off out there. One chair got wet, and basically we soaked it up with some towels, and it was fine.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was a fun thing, and, you know, our Tuesday night election watching at your place was good, too.
That was really good. Taryn had me hook up my laptop to the TV set the way we used to have it, and We had MSNBC and later The Daily Show streaming on my computer, on my laptop, onto the TV. And so, yeah, election night was kind of fun. There was like 10 of us there. We're all watching it. And it was really nice to be in like a room full of, I guess, like-minded people as our team won, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it would have been a celebration or commiseration one way or the other.
Right.
It was good to be around your friends.
Yeah.
And
either way, we had enough alcohol because people brought a lot to drink to the party. And so Tyrod figured out something like we had like 100 cans of soda and like 80 bottles of beer or something like that ended up in our recycle bin at the end of the night.
Nice.
It's like some insanely and you know what the neatest thing about the party was? The house was not a wreck the next day.
You know? Well, no. All of your it's like you're in your 30s. I'm nearly 30. All of our friends are in the late 20s to early 30s. We know how to be responsible people.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, accidents happen, you know.
Yeah, that's true, but I was just kind of like we're not a bunch of 19-year-olds trashing the house while daddy's out of town.
Yeah, I know. And just to have that many people in one place, you would expect it to be messier, but Tyrod helped a little with that. During the course of the night, he would take cans of bottles out to the trash. And at the end of the night, I maybe spent like 20 minutes picking up bottles and plastic cups. But yeah, no major messes or anything like that. Everything went really well. Super, super nice. I was so happy that everybody showed up. We got some housewarming gifts, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I already went to Home Depot and spent all my Home Depot cards. And
That's how it's going to be, dude.
Oh, well, I knew we needed a new faucet for the kitchen because the one that was on there looked like it had been badly installed by the previous owners. And then it was all janky, and I needed to replace it.
Yeah.
And I could have replaced it with like a $19 or $29 just plain.
You were like, fuck faucet. No, man. This is fucking space age.
Well, I wanted to get the whole house looks really nice, and I didn't want us to move in and put some cheap fixture there, especially in the kitchen because you could see it from the main room.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't want just like, you spent $20 on this faucet. Fucking $130 for this faucet. But it is this really nice kind of brushed stainless steel that looks really good. I mean, I showed it to Buck on Tuesday, I think, and he said he liked it. So I was like, oh, he's got good taste. So that's good. But that's my project for this weekend at some point. I'm going to go ahead and install that, you know, and it's got the little sprayer thing on the side and everything. Neat. So I'm very happy about that. I'm going to be doing more occasional plumbing work in the house, you know.
There's a good book that I'm pretty sure is still in print. It's like How to Fix Damn Near Anything.
That's actually what it's called?
I'm pretty sure.
Cool, cool.
And it is like household everything.
Okay.
I think I'll pull it up on Amazon, see if it's still in print. Because I know my parents had a copy of it back when I was a kid. And it has basic household repairs 101.
Cool, cool. Yeah, I've got a nice plumbing book that I got back in 98. It's dated, and I got that when I lived with my mom because I was fixing up her house and stuff like that. And I think a lot of the principles of it are pretty much the same. I talked to a guy in Home Depot about it.
How to Fix Damn Near Anything.
Huh.
You can purchase it for... Wow. Those are really old.
Hmm.
Huh.
Yeah, I'd probably want like an updated version. How old is it?
Yeah, that one's 96. So this one, but these kind of books, how to fix it yourself guides.
Yeah.
You can totally find.
Yeah.
Like the Time Life Books Fix It Yourself Manual from 89 is still money. But yeah, I'm sure that there is a modern iteration of the book.
Right.
It's like, but I mean, plumbing hasn't changed all that much. You know, oven bits haven't changed.
Not the basic stuff, no.
Yeah. I mean, it's like how to recalc your bathtub that is not all, you know, for all people is not just a straightforward thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that you also have a thing called the internet. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's and I actually enjoy some of the minor repairs. It is a little bit irritating in a way where I'm like, fuck, something else I need to do. Because it's like, I might have mentioned this before, it's like Tieran and I, you know, we're relatively young. There had been a 91-year-old there before. And we're using a lot more lights and using a lot more stuff. And we have people over and everything. So we're just using shit in the house more. So, like, the bulbs are basically popping one by one. So I'm replacing them with long-lasting bulbs. And, you know, old fittings in the plumbing that probably hadn't been used that much in a couple of years. It's all gradually needing to be swapped out and everything like that. So,
yeah. It's that's a consequence of owning the house.
I'm fine with it. I was actually having this weird kind of thought today of, like, man, it feels strange. Like, sometimes it just feels like another place we're living or we're renting this house. And then I have to be like, oh, my God, we own this place. This is ours, you know? Yeah. And it's just a little overwhelming in a good way. You know, it's like a big thing. But it's nice.
Yeah.
So speaking about hookah, I also did some investment in my hookah smoking today. I went to hookahshisha.com. It's hookah-shisha.com for anyone who wants to look it up. It's Teal orders from there as well. And so at Avery Dragon's advice, I got a new hose for my hookah because mine can pull kind of hard sometimes. Like it kind of takes a bit of effort to suck, basically, to inhale. And so I got a wider hose that is also a washable hose, which is nice. Because the non-washable ones, you just kind of have to blow out or kind of try to
accumulate gunk.
Swap them out. Yeah. But the washable ones, I mean, you can actually pour water through them and swish them around and everything like that and actually get them nice and clean.
That's cool.
And I paid a little extra. And I got this thing, this ice cooling thing that goes near the top. That basically you put ice cubes in and it just cools the smoke additionally. So it makes it all less harsh and a little bit smoother.
Sweet.
But, you know, I got little things like that. I got a wind cover for it. So if it gets windy out on the patio, I don't have to worry about blowing a coal into someone.
You're no longer just a filthy casual, you know, you're
invested. Yeah, I'm up in my game when it comes to the hookah. Yeah.
Doing more than just the minimum.
Yeah. If we're talking about next time, you know, we'll put some, mix something in with the water in the base because you can put other liquids as long as a cut with the water in the base and it adds additional flavor to the smoke. So I think we talked about like one of the like candy flavored vodkas with the mint chocolate shisha and that would just add a little bit more
that flavor to it. Kind of magical.
It's magical mysteries. Woo! No, it's well. I mean, they do that at Jasmine's too. Like they'll actually put Skittles candies into the base, and gradually they melt and dissolve into the water. And then they have a Skittles flavored tobacco, which is like a mix of fruit flavors. And yeah, so you order the Skittles hookah at Jasmine's, and it's like $30, but it's like the whole thing, you know.
Yeah, so. One thing that, you know, that did come up on Twitter earlier today was apparently they've named the guy that's going to write Star Wars Episode 7.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that.
So the guy that's doing it is also the same writer. Let me find it real quick. I tweeted it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah. Michael Arndt, A-R-N-D-T, will write the screenplay for Episode 7. And he's the guy that wrote Little Miss Sunshine and Toy Story 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked Little Miss Sunshine. I thought it was a pretty cool film. A little weird.
I really enjoyed Little Miss Sunshine. Definitely very different, kind of indie.
Well, Panther and I went and saw it at like the Angelica. So it was like super indie for a while. And then it got a wide release. Because
were you there with us then when I saw it? Because I saw it in a big group of furs, and my friend Lexa said, hey, let's check out this movie. It looks kind of cool.
I think it may have been with, because I know that Panther and I went to the Angelica for it.
Yeah, and there was like 8 or 10 of us when we went to the Angelica.
I think it must have been. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he wrote that, and then Toy Story 3, you know, that movie was kind of dark in a lot of ways.
Yeah, Kevin Smith described it as Schindler's Toy Box.
I'm going to IMDb this guy, because I'm sure he's written other things. Mm-hmm. And I do think it's pretty good that they're already saying, look, you know, we're doing something with this. Disney's throwing its backing behind it.
Yeah. Oh, so for those that don't know, you know, George Lucas sold Lucasfilm to Disney, and Disney has come out and said they're making a Star Wars Episode 7.
He also did the screenplay for Hunger Games.
Ah. Hmm.
Which got a ton of stuff. And he's also going to write the next Hunger Games screenplay. He's also going to write... No, he's writing the next one, not the first one.
Mm.
He's also working on a Phineas and Ferb movie. There is the untitled Pixar movie that takes you inside the mind, 2015. And then Star Wars Episode 7. So the dude obviously has some chops.
Yeah.
In writing, like, that's the movie called Oblivion. That it's a science fiction thriller featuring Tom Cruise, Morgan Freeman. Huh. Hmm. Interesting.
Was that the one that kind of came out recently and didn't really do anything?
No, it's not come out yet.
Oh, okay. All right.
It is a... Huh. So, I mean, it's one of those things where the guy doesn't do just kid stuff and he doesn't do just adult stuff.
Right.
It's a big mix of both, but all the stuff he's written thus far has been pretty critically acclaimed.
Sounds like a good sign, then.
Yeah, because, I mean, I just want more stuff to be done with the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
You know, because the books have kind of gone past, you know, the point where they're exhausting the original characters.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having to go off and... make entirely new ones. Because, I mean, in the timeline of the books, something like Han and Leia, if they're still married, which I don't know if they are, like, in their late 60s, early 70s.
Mm-hmm. I'm too old for this shit.
Hey, let's go to Wikipedia. And I say this, and I'm like, if Rikoshi's listening, he's like, no, they're talking about Star Wars, and I'm not there.
it's like me being a Who fag. Well, he's a Who fag, too, but anyway.
Let's see. You know, she... God, Mara Jade has a long-ass Wikipedia entry.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Like, she's listed as having died 40 years after the Battle of Yavin. By Reckoning of the Star. And she died in kind of a bitchy way. Where... she kills one of Han Solo's kids. Oh. Or one of Han Solo's kids kills her.
Oh, okay. It's an important distinction.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is kind of a one-sided conversation, because I don't know anything about it. Well, I'm just kind of looking at this, and
I'm like... But I'm just kind of saying, it's like...
Yeah.
It's good that they're going to be bringing some more life into the universe, because the comics have usually been set in the past...
Uh-huh.
All the books are so far in the future.
Right.
And then, like, the comic series that was like, set 100 and something years in the future got canceled.
Oh, okay.
So, Star Wars is kind of in this wibbly-wobbly space where they have to go in the intervening Old Republic time frame, which is a few thousand years, they can just kind of do what the fuck ever they want.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, everything they do is standalone.
Yeah.
Just
so I'm wondering, like, what kind of storyline 7, 8, and 9 are going to have then.
Yeah. Let's see.
Because it pretty much, I mean, the first 6 kind of lead up to and end with the good guys winning, like, because episode 3 is pretty fucking dark.
Yeah.
So they have to sort of manufacture another threat, I guess.
And apparently Luke is apparently dead at some point in the expanded universe storyline.
Mm-hmm.
He died 5 years after Mara Between 45 and 137 years after the Battle of Yavin.
Which one was the Battle of Yavin?
End of episode 1 or 4. The first Star Wars film.
Oh, okay. All right.
He's got his cybernetics. Da da da. It's just one of those. They're finally going to do some stuff with it.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. I mean, I'll enjoy seeing them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to enjoy it. Hopefully, they can do some stuff that will reignite.
Well, he's put Kathleen Kennedy in charge, and she actually, I think, co-wrote or directed Empire. I can't remember which.
Yeah. But
she's been involved with some of the more successful aspects of, especially with the original trilogy, she was involved with that.
Yeah, and you know who isn't going to be directing it?
George Lucas.
That's fucking right.
Yep. But, you know, I think I tweeted this or something. I thought it was very cool that, so Lucas got like a little over $4 billion for Lucasfilms, and he's actually donating it to education funding. And he's taken that same pledge that Warren Buffett and Bill Gates have taken, but basically given half of his value. But yeah, he's donating like $4 billion to education. So that's mighty white of him, I have to say. He's bought back some goodwill from the fans in a lot of ways. You know, all the people that he somehow irritated with the prequels.
What?
What?
I'm just like, Second Galactic Civil War? What the fuck? I haven't paid much attention to the expanded universe for a decade, maybe, at this point. Because I stopped reading about halfway through the...
Please don't go on a Wikipedia crawl in the middle of a show.
No, I'm trying to, like, figure out where does it say he died? When did he die?
God, Command F, death.
Yeah, it's like, at some point prior to 137 ABY, Luke passed away. So, he's still alive in the books. Because the 137 years after is when they started the comic books.
Ah, okay.
So, he's still alive in the books, but he's still also really...
old.
Old.
Gotcha. So, on political news, I'm going to throw out a couple links here.
We're going to throw out some other shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're done with Star Wars. Back to politics.
So, there's whitepeoplemourningromney.tumblr.com.
Oh, man. That right there, if you're at home, pause the podcast and go look at this, because I don't know how long it's going to be around, but it is...
It's basically reaction shots and silly tweets and stuff like that that conservatives have made.
And the fucking face icon is this pouty-faced Ryan...
Is that Paul Ryan?
Yeah, pouty face Paul Ryan. Look at that sad fucker. Seriously, it is the most fake sad face. But it's like, can't wait to see the look on the Democrats' faces when the guy announces the end of America.
I don't think you really announce that kind of thing.
Yeah, you don't just be like, by the way, guys, America's over. Welcome to Obama Stan. Because we're definitely throwing it back to the 80s. By the way, we're communists now.
Yeah. It's just... Yeah.
But yeah, reaction faces. Reaction faces. Reaction faces.
Stupid Facebook posts.
Yeah. Well, like, you can also... Like, sad people with Romney victory cupcakes that I guess they don't get to eat now.
America, you bitch! That's one of the tweets. Tonight we grieve for America. Tomorrow we organize and move forward. And it's a tear crying red, white, and blue.
Yeah, people like, peacefully grant the state of Louisiana to withdraw from the U.S. and create its own government on petitions.whitehouse.gov. Yeah, I don't think... I don't think that's going to happen.
This day will go down in my 8-year-old daughter's memories as the day mommy cried for our nation.
Thanks for ruining my birthday, Obama.
Oh, God. The most devastating.
Victoria Jackson. Thanks a lot, Christians, for not showing up. You disgust me.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's just basically wankery. It's kind of funny, but it's kind of wankery, too.
And there's that one girl in Georgia that made the tweet and that consequently deleted her Twitter account because she got so much flack over it. But it was like, I'm going to move to Australia because their president is a Christian and means what he says. And Australia has, A, a prime minister, B, she's a woman, and C, she's an atheist.
And there's no gun. It's really a very funny little infographic.
Yeah.
But yeah, here's the Times of India. Obama wins, planet relieved. India DNA was the magazine. So.
So yeah, that's white people mourning Romney. That's one word. .tumblr.com.
Which is. Wow. Retweet, Washington County, King County prosecutor dismisses all pending marijuana possession cases.
Oh, sweet.
That's kind of cool. Because that would be kind of, wouldn't that be fucked? You get picked up for possession before it's legalized, and then it's legalized, but you still are on the hook for it.
Oh, hell no!
And see, this is the thing. It's like, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm always like, don't do drugs, kids. And I don't smoke, really.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even really do hookah. I have asthma. You know, I don't drink in any great amount. But it's one of those things that, like, if you do it and you don't fuck it up for yourself and other people, I don't really care.
Yeah.
I mean, shit like cocaine, which fucks you over for, like, hardcore, sure. You know, don't do meth, don't do coke. But
mm-hmm.
If you're going to smoke something, I mean, marijuana might be a little bit less harmful than processed tobacco. I don't know.
See, the thing is, it's like cigarettes and alcohol are illegal. And, you know, alcohol causes way more death and fucks shit up way worse. You know, it fucks up your liver and, you know, and it's legal, you know. And marijuana, it's not, it's totally recreational. It's not a fucking gateway. I mean, you know, if anything, stress is a gateway.
You know, if marijuana was a gateway drug, Kevin Smith would be on, like, everything right now.
Yeah. Give me some pills. Oh, give me this fucking Roxy's.
It was pussy all over the place.
Give me that pussy show a drug.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm like, I don't even smoke weed. You know, I smoke hookah, which is just flavored tobaccos mixed. But it's like, I totally think it should be legal, regulated, so you don't get people mixing in dangerous shit or people, like, selling bags of pencil shavings to gullible teenagers. And you can also tax the shit out of it and probably help the economies of those states quite a bit. So I think it's a positive thing, you know, and it will be – they're in very uncharted territory, so it'll be interesting to see how they handle it.
Yeah.
Like we were saying earlier, yeah, Rainforest and RMFC just got a lot more interesting. what else is going on, Zarin?
You know, the world is churned on. There's, unfortunately, you know, we've all been navel-gazing. Everyone, you know, with the politics and stuff, everyone's kind of like,
mm-hmm.
Oh, so what else is going on in the world? I don't know. What else was it? There was something else that I was going to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
Politics-wise. Oh, Texas.
Uh-huh.
Is, has crazies. In case,
Have we seceded from the Union yet?
No.
Worse, have we seceded from the Onion?
There was a guy in Texas that was like, he's a GOP official in Texas.
Uh-huh.
That called people that voted for Obama maggots and then called out non-white voters accusing them of voting for the president on an ethnic basis.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know about you, but I think being called a maggot, that really encourages me to talk to your side of the political aisle.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
why
you know, we're part of the
pieces of shit.
We're part of the freeloading 47% that doesn't matter.
Yeah, it was one of those, oh, guys. And it was actually one of the thing that where one of the guys, party officials in the county was like, oh, I guess I should start paying attention to those. And, you know, because this is a national news article that keeps like the local GOP in this tiny Hardin County, which is not very big here in Texas. It's
yeah. Here's a headline on a news site. Chick-fil-A opening gives disappointed Republicans something to celebrate.
And it's like, it's now down near northeast of Houston, north of, like, Beaumont.
Uh-huh.
And it has, like, one town of any size. Towns of Sour Lake, Pinewood Estates.
So what's going on here? Oh, this is the Maggots guy?
Yeah, the Maggots guy. He's like, the town of Silsby and the town of Countze, K-O-U-N-T-Z-E. You know, I'm sure he represents 30,000 people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, one thing's nice, though, is Dallas went blue. Austin went blue. Houston went blue. These huge swaths of population. Most of Texas obviously went Republican because, well, there's a lot of empty space with very small towns. And it doesn't take much effort to turn a very, very rural city or rural county one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, Texas, sigh. But yeah, it's Hardin County. Woo! Apparently the Cincinnati Tea Party proclaimed the nation dead. Death was ruled as a suicide.
Oh, here's another great one where it's on a storefront in Virginia. The big sign that says, "Closed to mourn the loss of America." Shame on USA and Virginia. Oh, yeah. I mean, all the butt hurt. But, I mean, I don't remember going this crazy, you know, when Gore and Kerry lost. But
let's see, there was a guy that forced a coal miner guy in Pennsylvania, I think it was.
Yeah.
Murray Energy, based in Ohio. Romney attacked President Obama's environmental and economic policies by running an ad featuring dozens of coworkers who, as the world now knows, were unpaid for their appearance, but forced to appear in the ad and lost a day's pay for the privilege in doing so. And then the day after the election, he read them a prayer and fired 160 of them.
Wow.
What a shit.
Hmm.
Really, how can people be that fucking awful? It's not his workers' fault. It may be if they voted for the president, but what a cunt.
Yeah.
Seriously. What a fucking useless cunt. He should kill himself.
We're not advocating suicide, even for mittens.
Or nah.
Money boo-boo.
God.
This is such a great expression.
It is, and I'm sure that he was very surprised, and he was. Apparently, he was very surprised that he didn't get elected because they'd been paying attention to the unskewed poll guy as opposed to Nate Silver, who is a witch.
So there was a hashtag on Twitter, Drunk Nate Silver, which just had all these improbable things like, you know, Drunk Nate Silver is going through the subway telling people the day that they will die. And Drunk Date Silver just went to sub-state to congratulate a 12-year-old on being our 56th president. There's the website that we showed you on Tuesday, is NateSilverAWitch.com.
Yeah, and they changed it after he was like 99.8% correct on every call but like one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he called a seat in like North Dakota as remaining Republican when it went Democrat.
Oh, okay.
But other than that, his... fuck you, phone. 313 was the call, I think it was. I think 313 is what he got, mm-hmm. or 330.
Well, it will be 330 if Florida calls it for Obama. I think
Florida conceded, or he conceded in Florida, because, I mean, at this point it doesn't fucking matter.
Wait, who did?
Romney.
Romney conceded in Florida? Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. I actually kind of like this time Florida's clusterfuckery. You know, the election was decided, you know.
Without them.
Without them. So it's like they could fuck themselves into a hole. It doesn't matter who they voted for. They could vote for fucking Gary Johnson at this point, and it wouldn't make a difference. And I say that as of having been a Florida resident in 2000 when, you know, the state's ass fuckery dragged out who won that election for weeks.
At this point, it was just like, yeah, Florida can fuck off, you know, even if Ohio's not fucking doing it. We've got Nevada, so...
Yeah.
Fie on you.
Florida.
You know. So, good times for us.
Yeah.
And, the butthurt tears of conservatives have been...
There's that great image. It's a bottle called Republican Tears. And it's like, drink up, there's plenty more.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm looking at this fucking website. Okay. So, yeah, I don't think anything else major happened in the last week, apart from the election. And we're probably forgetting something, but...
I'm sure we're forgetting something, but there's still plenty more that will happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... I was trying to see if I can... see...
What are you trying to find?
Okay. I'm just looking at some wankery. Never mind. Ignore me.
All right. Okay. Well, we're getting dead air here, so let's read an email.
Hey, we got a new Google Voice for next week. Awesome.
Cool. All right. So I'm going to read this. Oh, another one just arrived. Okay, cool. I'm going to read this Far Fright Con report. Okay.
Hurricane 2012.
Well, I mean, we have tornadoes at MFM and hurricanes for Fur Fright, so.
Yep.
Dear Notcast, I was going to send it in earlier, but I've been fighting an extended bit of con crud. Fur Fright 2012 was all right, though I didn't see much in the way of panels I was interested in. And a few I was at, I had to miss because... And the few I was interested in, I had to miss because of an overnight work schedule. Registration wasn't terrible on Friday morning, as it appeared to move a bit faster. Of course, they still didn't have very many lines to process people, just new computers with a rebuilt reg system that ran much faster. The wording on this is, like, really kind of self-contradictory a little bit. It's a little confusing. Since my friend and I were pre-regged with the cheater pass, Franken sponsor, we ended up at the front of the line once they started pulling them. One of the panels I did see was part of the My Little Pony and the Lies They Told Me. It was an interesting breakdown of the negative lessons in their positive lesson. That's an interesting topic. Otherwise, I met some new people from the region and managed to chase my friend down in time to get his food order, followed by a phone call to check his suitcase for dark pants. which I found so he could be a stage ninja this year. This was torture for me as I had to smell 2 bacon cheeseburgers during the entire masquerade. The masquerade was decent this year. Someone also did a partial fursuit of the Mad TV character Lorraine. And we kept hearing that iconic, See, I'm not familiar with this, sorry. Probably misreading that.
I don't know.
Every so often getting snickers from everyone. The mic actually worked for the furry punk rock massacre. We still need to have at least one act that's so terrible it's funny, besides warranting being dragged off stage by the ninjas. Due to having to deliver the Sunday paper, I missed Fire Fright 2012. Someone had the most brilliant idea. Let's set off a fire extinguisher in the stairwell. As for door side issues, I can't comment as I was not there to witness any. One Sunday rolled around a con due to Mother Nature was starting to die off more quickly than in the past. Of course, panels were lacking like normal. So it was mostly a chill-out, play board games, or go adventuring in Connecticut Day. On Monday, the furs that stayed were stuck at full room rates due to canceled flight, down trains, and closed bridges. Both the GWB and the Tappan Zee, were closed due to high crosswinds. There aren't many Hudson crossings, unfortunately. Of course, my friend had to try and get as much time in as possible, so I was heading home at 11:30 a.m. That wouldn't have been a problem, except for crosswinds hard enough to blow me partially into the breakdown lane, or working to get home before 1 p.m., because Malloy, I'm sure, I believe that's the governor, closed all the state highways due to the hurricane. At least I was only 40 minutes from home. From now, the friend I imported from New Jersey for the con is still up in Connecticut with me, as there is no power at his home yet. The plan is to see if I can keep him up here until it's back. He doesn't handle lack of internet very well, as the 24 hours we went without power showed me.
I don't have power. I need my internet. Oh, I need my fix.
P.S. Bellick, who's the con chair, had his back waxed as part of the promise for breaking the fundraising record. I guess he had to one-up people shaving their heads or something. And Tony Ringtail showed how manly he was without even flinching by getting waxed, too. I think it was $13,500 this year.
Sweet. Good on him.
And then he gives us a link to Lorraine's sketch, which I have not watched because I just now read this email.
So. Yep.
But thank you for hearing it first.
Had a couple cons this year. You kind of slapped down by weather.
But, yeah. Luckily, you know, none of these events, it didn't really hit in the middle of the con. I did hear that a lot of folks were leaving this con earlier than normal, you know, because they were projecting that the highways were going to be closed, which they were, and, you know, and a lot of folks had their flights canceled, which was kind of a bitch, because Tyrant's flight was canceled, and the way they were talking, it was going to be a while before flights were available again, so instead of waiting up there for a return flight, so he would have had to pay to rebook the flight, and then wait till like Wednesday when he was supposed to fly out on Monday in order to fly back, and we would have to pay shipping home the remaining stock. So he decided to rent a car and drive home instead, which actually cost less money. And because he was able to take the stock with him. But he took like 2 or 3 days to drive home because it's a long way from Connecticut. It was like, I want to say 24, 26 hours, something like that. Maybe more, maybe like 28. I don't remember. But, you know, he also had weather issues to deal with. So it took a while with that as well. But yeah. It's kind of a pain. I saw a lot of tweets from people whose flights were canceled and they were stranded here and there and everything. So,
but yeah, hopefully, you know, in the aftermath of Sandy, people will be able to get their shit back on track without too much. The government seems to be responding a lot better than the last major hurricane.
Which the former head of FEMA during that hurricane criticized the Obama administration for moving too quickly, basically.
Yeah.
It's like, huh. So, you want to read an email, Savern?
Sure. Let's see. Question time. Dear Not Casks, your Brony in Germany bookworm here. Wondering about your origin stories. How did you individually get into the fandom, and how did you all meet? I've been, only been interested in listening a few months, though. I've been trying to go through the backlog, so I apologize if you already answered this. Or if you already answered this episode, then my backup question is, when are you guys coming to your friends so I have a chance to meet you in person? Sincerely yours, Bookworm. Let's see.
Is it a Eurofords thing? Is probably not going to happen for the foreseeable future for me, anyway.
Yeah. Getting out to Europe.
A little bit pricey.
A little pricey.
Just bought a house and lack of time off for Tieran and I due to how many cons we deal at.
Yeah, I don't see Europe coming, going out to Europe for a good, decent amount of time.
No.
Sorry, but as for getting into the fandom, I mean, mine is delightfully straightforward.
Mm.
Get the internet. Wonder, huh, I wonder if they ever did anything else with Robin Hood.
Oh, did they?
find the Orlando Furry Archive. Randomly click on a name. It was Chris Sawyer.
Ah.
Gay unicorns fucking. That's hot. And it was my secret, my dark secret for many years. Mm-hmm. I would go to Mia Veer and Orlando Furry Archive and Yurf on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
Being the horny teenager that I was, it was not often Yurf.
when you wanted to see clean characters doing clean things. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, look at that character. It's so cute.
Oh, Prime!
And then when I was around 16, I met some people locally. I met Guardian at that time.
Yep.
I was Guardian, a girl who's not into furries anymore, and the artist Swan Dog.
Ah.
When she lived here. I've ran into Guardian many times in the intervening time frame. It's kind of weird. Yeah. I would run into him at cons, and I went to the furry meet, furry room parties at older Acons. You know who run those?
Yeah.
Shiva.
Yeah.
And then, lo and behold, you know, get back into Texas, and I'm like, hey. Or I was like, I wanted to find some furries locally. And then Fuzz was like, hey, you were doing a meet. This place, it was when the
the movie meets at Nexus.
It wasn't a Nexus movie meet. It was a it was a pizza night or whatever. The place on Beltline.
Papa's Pizza.
It was Papa's, yeah.
So it was the first Sunday meet back when it was at the pizza place before it closed.
Yeah. It was. Then I met you and then Guardian. He was like, hey, I know you. And he was like, do you? I was like, yeah, I've known of you for a while. Hi.
I follow you.
It's been this nice little interweaving synergy of life, and now, you know, we're this happy little group, and,
yeah,
you know, I live half a block away from Guardian, and he is a good friend, and Tester's a good friend, and I know, you know, you got your house, and obviously we're friends because we've been doing 199 episodes of this show.
Oh my god, I know. And we're only like 2 miles away or something like that. So.
Yeah, 4 minutes.
It's shit's crazy.
Yeah. So.
So my origin story was, back in the day, I was really into werewolves, like, and wolves, like, ever since I was like 11 and stuff like that. And I would read and buy any werewolf-related books and comics and stuff like that. So when I got to college and had a computer lab, because I didn't have a computer at home when I was a kid, because, you know, I wasn't one of those geeks whose parents got them, like, a Commodore 64 when they were 10 or anything like that. So I didn't actually get, I mean, I'd used computers for programming in high school, but I hadn't actually gotten on the internet until I was, like, 21. So it's kind of a late bloomer there. And I did a search for werewolves, and I found the were community. And I also found, like, one of the first pictures I remember finding was this picture Wookiee did of an anthro-wolf or werewolf, like, howling at the moon. And it was mostly clean, except a little bit of sack shown. And I thought that was kind of cool. And so I was in the were community briefly, and it obviously I was introduced to the furry community through that because there's like a lot of common links and stuff like that, and eventually crossed over into the furry community and started doing meets and hanging out with local furs when I lived in Florida, and pretty much went from there, you know. And I'm very happy with where I'm at now. You know, I got a good bunch of friends here that I see on a regular basis. Got my house, got my mate, got my business, got my podcast. So, you know, shit's going well. And I'm very happy with my involvement in the furry fandom and, you know, the friend base that I've found through it and everything. It's been a really good interest for me. And yeah, I guess I'm kind of a lifestyler because my mate's a furry, my business is a furry, all my friends are furries, but, you know, I don't do the ears and tails at the mall bullshit, you know, but pretty much a lot of my life is taken up with the fandom, but yeah, it's been good.
Yep.
So that's about the size of that.
It's a fair question. Yeah, we've kind of, this community has turned into our lives in a kind of a weird, big way.
Well, I mean, you think about it, that happens with a lot of communities, you know, that any kind of like any sci-fi show and shit, you know, because I was briefly in a Doctor Who community back in like 97 and 99. And, you know, it's folks that like go to two or three Doctor Who cons a year. They talk on Doctor Who news groups and they argue about which Doctor is better. And, you know, they write Doctor Who fiction or they make Doctor Who cosplay and stuff like that, you know. It's a lot like writing furry fiction, making fursuits, going to meets and cons, you know?
Yeah.
And it's the same for any kind of hobby.
And really, I think it's kind of cool, though, that furry is just one of those communities that you can have such a long tail on. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got, you know, the Trek has been around for this many years, and Star Wars has been around this many years, and furry is up there in terms of age and like that. You've got the, you know, like Transformers and stuff.
Yeah, and there's like weird.
The bronies, little, they're this, you know,
the new thing.
The next 30-year, you know, thing. We'll see about that, really.
Yeah, when you think about it, I mean, the brony part is new, but the My Little Pony fandom has existed since the 80s.
Yeah, it's the 30th anniversary this year.
Okay, cool.
The collectors and the... Well, that wasn't really a fandom, per se, during the original years, but as the women and boys and men who played with them and they grew up and they were collectors, you know, it's, but as a product line, as a thing, it's been 30 years.
And
you know, the bronies are just going to be another phase, another nerd culture that'll pop up, maybe stick around, maybe get absorbed into furry. I don't know.
Yep. And there's all sorts of odd little interest groups like that. There's apparently a local society, Trebuchet Society.
Cool.
People that just build
trebuchets. I like throwing shit.
And having contests and stuff about that. You know?
That's cool. That sounds fun to me.
Yeah. And the Lego community is still very active.
Fucking Lego's great. I was super stoked. I went to Fry's the other day. While running some errands, and they have re-released some of the Kingdom stuff. The castles with dragons and knights and shit.
Oh, okay.
That I played with so fucking much as a kid. Because, like, I don't like the thematic sets that much. But the castles and the fantasy stuff, that was my fucking thing.
Yeah.
That and the pirates. I had, like, the big $130, at the time, pirate island. That had, like, the big-ass boat and the big castle island.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Cool.
It makes me smile because it's so cool to see. It's like, I remember playing with those, man. If I had a kid, I would buy the shit of that for him.
Yeah. I'm going to Lego the fuck out of your room. But, Daddy, I like Barbies. Not anymore, you don't.
Okay, that's okay too, kid. But I want you to get some Legos.
How about a Lego Barbie? She looks really weird and blocky. It's like, well, why am I alive?
Then, of course, there's the ones that are aimed at, like, the adults. That are just like, all right, this is a model of a starship. You know, this is the Super Star Destroyer. This is a Star Destroyer. This is the Millennium Falcon. Those aren't for kids. It's a secret, but those aren't really for the kids.
What the hell is an aluminum falcon?
Yeah, well, it's like you know that those the WoW Mega Blocks and the Halo Mega Blocks.
Oh yeah.
You know those are for the adults to get their kids to play with, but you know that those adults can be like, I've got an airship, or I've got Master Chief and he's flying around on a ghost.
I want to play with this. You can't take it out of the package.
Well, it's one of those things. You know, WoW's been around for like what, 8 years. It's totally possible for someone who started. It's like, you know, this is where people go, oh, Saverin, you're so silly. People that play WoW don't get laid and have children.
Okay, I won't say that then.
But it's like, it's totally possible that someone who's been playing WoW for a very long period of time could have matured, got married, and still play on a casual level. And then when they have a kid that's old enough to have Legos, well, let's get them WoW Legos because that's what daddy plays. Uh-huh. Or Halo. Halo came out 10 years ago.
Oh, wow. Huh.
So if you were like 14 or 15 when the original game came out, you're 25 now, odds are you might have gotten married and had a kid at this point, and there's Halo Mega Blocks. Obviously, Halo is still ongoing, and the kids that were like, you know, 1 and 2 when the original game came out can appreciate the Legos more now. Well, I would say, well, you know, but they like Transformers Legos and stuff like that. It's kind of cool to see stuff like the Legos and stuff that's targeted to the adults that are nostalgic and like, man, I played with this shit when I was a kid, so my kids can play with it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It all cycles around.
Yeah. Well, oh, God. Katie Cook tweeted something about seeing Rugrats stuff around. And I looked that up. Rugrats was 20 years ago.
Wow.
The original Rugrats cartoon, one of the first three that Nick got Nickelodeon really started,
mm-hmm.
20 years ago.
Jeez, I feel old because that came after I kind of was not really watching cartoons.
Well, like, the Disney Afternoon stuff was before that, I think, but...
Yeah, 87-ish, late 80s was Disney Afternoon. Like, no, Tailspin started in 90. I think. But
I think
that was 22 years
DuckTales,
ago.
It was DuckTales that came and Gummy Bears that were first.
That shit's got to be like 25 years. Yeah. Well, Gummy Bears started in 86.
Yeah, so I was 3 then. So that's 26 years old.
Wow.
Wow, dude, we're getting old. What the hell?
God damn. When I was your age.
When I was your age, I didn't have internet, but I still enjoyed cartoons of steampunk representation of characters from the Jungle Book. I didn't care why Baloo was flying a seaplane. It was cool, damn it.
That's fuck yeah.
That's right.
Shit was awesome. I'm afraid to watch it now for fear that it hasn't held up.
Ooh, I don't know.
I have it on DVD, or at least volume one of the DVD set.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do we dare?
Do we dare? We have a... Oh, dude, we could have a party one day. Just be like RIP nostalgia, where we have a bunch of, like, you know, cupcakes with little tombstones on it and shit like that for like an over-the-hill party. And then we all go back and watch episodes of like Rescue Rangers and DuckTales, and then we realize that, man, our nostalgia goggles are way too miscalibrated. And then we get depressed and eat all the cupcakes and feel better. Maybe include a bunch of alcohol.
I don't know whether that sounds like an awesome worst idea ever. Wow, I don't know.
But then what we could do is also watch some modern cartoons and feel better that our older cartoons are still pretty good.
Wait, how old are you?
I'm 29.
Okay, so we have to do this for your 30th then, right?
Okay, that'll be this coming June.
Because that's sooner than my 40th.
Let's goodbye to childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eat all the cupcakes.
I will say, Batman the Animated Series is still amazing.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's been a while since I watched it.
That was a masterpiece of cartoon television animation, in my opinion.
That was some awesome cartooning.
Yeah, and the fact that it's still available today at, like, Target. Like, there was an episode pack that was, like, $15.
Yeah.
It was just 13 Joker episodes.
Oh, wow. Cool.
So, get your Mark Hamill Joker on... Mm-hmm. And dude who plays Batman.
Kevin Conroy.
Kevin Conroy. I was like, I had his name there in a sec. Kevin Conroy and
Mark Hamill.
And Mark Hamill. Get that going on.
Yep.
It's a magical... Living in the future is cool. We can be like, man, remember that cool shit? Yeah, and I've got it on DVD over here.
God, you know, Mike, my, like, teenage self would be, like, so amazed at this iPad, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, Next Generation started when I was 11 and ran till I was, I don't know, how old, 18, I guess. Right? No. No, 18. Yeah, it ran till I was 18. So I was, like, majorly into Next Gen, you know, and just be like, oh my god, this is like totally Star Trek, this little touch screen. It's amazing.
Dude, iPad minis.
Yeah.
They're the same size as the pads.
Yep, they're
except they're pads. Actual devices as opposed to props.
Yep.
So, weird. Living in the future, man.
And then you could just slap it down on a ready room desk like Picard does, like you don't give a shit. And then you're like, oh god, I hope I bought the AppleCare.
It's okay. You can just fucking put it in the replicator. Get another one.
Oh, that's the one thing from Star Trek I wish we had was fucking replicators. Did you see that headline a couple months ago that like scientists are working on figuring out how to make a warp drive?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And I'm like, wait, it's actually scientifically feasible? What the fuck? Ah, my brain.
It'd be kind of cool. I mean, we can do a lot of shit, and I don't think we're going to get a replicator anytime in our lifetimes. But you know, the warp drive in like Star Trek's timeline was in like 2070s, so we're on the way.
Yeah. And then the Vulcans will come down here and make everything better.
Well, the Vulcans will try to kick our ass initially because we freak out when they show up. And then they'll make things better.
We'll start shooting them. No. That was in the Mirror Universe. Oh my god, because it was in this one episode. No. Yeah.
Don't.
That was actually... this was actually quite a good thing. It was actually in Enterprise, but they did a two-parter that took place. Do you remember this? It took place entirely in the Mirror Universe.
No.
Oh, it was really cool because they even went to the extent of changing the opening credits. Do you remember the opening visuals for Enterprise? It kind of showed like mankind's progression through space and everything. They did a Mirror Universe version. And actually had James Cromwell come back for this scene. But in the Mirror Universe version, Zefram Cochran pulls a gun on the Vulcans and basically, you know, turns the tables on them instead of having a peaceful first contact. So humanity is just basically raped and pillaged its way into the 23rd century.
Whoops.
And so it's like a whole two-parter. It takes place in the Mirror Universe. Different opening credits and everything. It's actually really neat that they went to that level of detail with it. But I'm going to read an email.
Yep, there's only one left.
Okay, first-time listener and first-time emailing in. Hiya, first-time listener and first-time emailing in. So sorry if I've sent this to the wrong email or fucked up. It's fine. I was just introduced to Notcast by my current partner, Raven, and I've just listened to one of your old episodes, Songs to Yift To. It was fantastic, to say the least. I have to say the worst song I've ever yift to was Tomboy, It's Okay to Be Gay.
It's okay to be gay in the gay way. It's this really bombastic, super gay song. I'll show you after we're done.
Okay, it sounds familiar. I think I've heard it. I was getting yiffed by my husky ex and my roommate slash fuck buddy at the time must have heard me moaning because he started playing this horrid song out loud and laughed like a maniac in the same room. It was an instant mood killer for both me and my ex, to say the least, but don't worry, we got revenge in the end. And he doesn't say how. Dot, dot, dot.
They never found the body.
And we left him for dead. There was so much blood, we slid home down a mountain. I still can't wait until I finish all of your episodes, too, by the way. Anyway, that's enough from this slutty fox. Hope you all have a great day from Fox-Tailed Critter. I knew he was slutty when he described his boyfriend as his current partner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi, this is my current wife. Wait, what?
I mean, what? Yeah, so we didn't actually have a lot of emails that were like, we're going to address this week. We've been saving up for episode 200. We really do appreciate the number of emails and Google Voice things that we have gotten. So keep on sending them in. Our Google Voice number is on the Notcast FA page. Derp-a-derp-a-derp. Like, go to it. So next week, I'm going to put this up on Sunday. Okay. So it'll be up on Sunday. And you will have a week at that point until next Friday when we record episode 200. So we're getting for 200. We're going to do for 200 what we did back at 100. Let people leave Google Voice messages or send in MP3s. We'd like to know how we've helped you guys in the intervening time. The good stuff that we've done, because, you know, we like to know that we're helping people out. That's why we do this.
Or just a hello.
Or just saying hi to. Because, I mean, you know, for all the silliness and the nonsense that we go through, we are doing our best to help. And as older furs, we would like to help the younger generation. You know, there is a bit of altruistic here. It's not just an excuse to hang out with friends and talk about cocks for a couple hours each week.
Well, that's how it started.
That's how it started. But it evolved into doing more. And as the show evolves, I mean, we're still, you know, we're still doing it for the community, even if we do come across as weirdos on occasion.
We're not just cocks.
We're not just about cocks.
That sounds like a great tagline. Maybe I should choose that for Fur Planet. Fur Planet, we're not just about cocks.
That's right.
We've moved into non-adult material, which we actually have, but I don't think adopting that as a tagline would be helpful.
I don't think so. But we have a Google Voice number, so you can give us a voicemail if you'd like. We play them on the air. So the number is 469-557-1193. It is different from the one from episode 100. Because we were derps and didn't maintain it, it went away. Ha ha, but we don't use it that much. So that is US only. Or you can email us an MP3 recording that you made if you want. For our international listeners, because I know we have some.
Yay!
Other than that, I mean, that's all the emails we got this week. Was there anything else that you wanted to discuss?
So I will not be at Midwest Fur Fest, but it is next weekend, and Tieran will be there, and Fur Planet will have tables in the dealer's room. So if you're going to MFF, stop by the dealer's room, buy some stuff. And also, you know, if you guys go to MFF, write into the show with a MFF con report, because, you know, we like to hear how the cons are doing and if people had a good time and whatnot.
Yep. And Yep. And hey, it's in other news, OMG Ponies tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Woo! So, yeah, Savin and I are going over to a
friend's house and
local PonyFacts house, friend's house, and we're going to watch Pony. And I was like, oh my God, we need to be like a couple of fat school kids and get like massive bowls of Cocoa Puffs and watch Saturday morning cartoons.
Well, we could. Or we can just go to McDonald's on the way, you know, whatever.
That's true. Be a couple of fat adults instead.
A couple fat adults with our coffees and be like, OMG, new horse.
This horse is amazing.
Ermagerd.
Ermagerd. Good times.
Yeah.
Which I'm actually quite looking forward to.
Yeah. So, other than that, you can follow us on Twitter. I am Savrin Drake.
I'm Fuzzwolf2000.
You can find us on FA at Notcast. Twitter at Notcast. Often we announce all of our stuff, like show topics and stuff.
On the FA.
On the FA and on the Twitter, or we'll at least link it. As Fuzz, you seem to be the one that manages that account.
Yeah, if I remember to do that, I will do so.
Yeah.
Also, actually, do you want to briefly discuss the IRC channel, since someone on Twitter asked us about it?
Yeah, Knockass has an IRC channel. It is on AntherChat. IRC.anthrochat.net. Holy shit, somebody in the furry room has linked a terrifying... Oh, God. That was a terrible thing to see.
Well, do you want to describe what it was?
It was like an abscess in somebody's mouth. Inside somebody's mouth. And because my IRC client auto-previews images, I got to see it right as I clicked over into the channel. So if you go into, as with any channel that's furry, or well, any channel in general, you might see some horrifying things. But Knockass, it's irc.anthrochat.net, /Knockass. We're in there usually. There's not a lot of activity. It's just come by, say hi. Occasionally there's conversation, but not a lot. I also hang out in the Pound Furry chat room.
Mm-hmm.
Just Savrin.
Just Savrin. And I'm not really on IRC at all.
Yeah. But the Knockass room requires a registered nick because, well, why don't you have a registered nick if you're on IRC? God forbid somebody impersonates you on the internet. Just chat, say hi. That's just an easy way to get a hold of me and say hello. That's about it for this week. Use our coupon code notadamneve.com. Because we're just now at an hour 16.
Oh, God, we totally forget.
We need to pick an item out for Adam and Eve, so we're going to do that real quick. And that item this week from adameve.com is the original 6-inch realistic cock. I don't know where they got the original penis from, but apparently they got it and molded it into 6 inches of delightful silicone. It is an Ultra Skin Doc Johnson dildo with suction cup base and big heavy balls. I don't know if they're
quite... You better wear a back brace before you handle these big heavy balls.
They're not quite Garmin levels. The Ralph Garmin sized mega balls. But it is a battery-free, waterproof, realistic shape, textured shaft, beige cock. It is 6 inches long, 1.25 inches around, best used for, can you guess? Penetration. But
penetration. Does it actually say that? Best used for penetration?
Yeah, it actually has a best used for. In case you couldn't figure it out, I mean, you could practice deep throating with it.
I guess. Or you could beat up a burglar with it.
Yep. And I have to say that this, it was listed in the 5-star things, but it has a 4.5-star rating. It has 1 1-star review and 3 2-star reviews.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them are 5 stars. Those two fuckers really skew the average. How dare they?
Curses.
Other than that, it's $54.95, but wait! If you use our coupon code NOT,
that's KNOT,
you get 50% off. You also get the free standard shipping inside the U.S. You also get the mystery gift and the free the Breeze triple feature porno DVD for $27.48. $30 to get fucked. Sounds fun to me.
Awesome. That's cheaper than a hooker.
Way cheaper.
Even a hooker with a strap on or possibly a shemale would cost you more than that.
Damn right. So buy some dongs and help us out. It's always it's good to see some monetary feedback. So other than that, there you go. On that note, good night.
And big balls.
Big heavy balls.
Masculine.